Let us now turn in the word of the Lord to the passage we read together. There in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Tonight we want to look at another one of the Master's men, one of his disciples, namely Philip. Now before we do that, let us seek now the help of the Lord. And the help of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Dear loving Saviour and eternal God, we rejoice that we're gathered this evening around the word of the Lord. We bless thee, our God, that we come tonight with a desire in our hearts, Lord, to meet with thee, and Lord, to learn more about thee and of thee. We pray, our gracious Lord, that we'll not only have a head knowledge of the things of God, but Lord, give us a heart knowledge. And we ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt speak to our hearts tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for all who have gathered into this place of worship this evening. And we ask thee, dear Lord, to meet with each one of us, both adult and children alike. We ask thee now, Lord, that thou would grant us the help that we need, the help of the Holy Spirit, that we might preach the word. And in preaching the word, we might preach Christ. We ask all these things in the Saviour's precious and all-prevailing name. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And our text for this evening is verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. All that we know about Philip, we learn from the writings of John. Strangely enough, John is the only one of the four Gospels, or the four evangelists, who tells us about Philip. Nothing is said about Philip in any of the first three Gospels, with the exception of his name being found in the lists of the disciples, which Matthew and Mark and Luke give. But even in that, we find something most interesting about this disciple. For you see, in each of the lists that are given in Matthew, Mark and Luke, Philip is always found in the same place. You look there at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 and verse 3. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who was called Peter. And Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. John, his brother. So we have four disciples mentioned. We come to verse 3 and now Philip is mentioned. He's number 5. Now when you go to Mark 3 verse 18. And once again read through the list, you will find Philip is still number 5. And when you turn to Luke chapter 6. And there in verse 14. The list is given, and where do we find Philip? Luke 6, verse 14. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother James, and John, Philip. So Philip is still number 5. Now, whenever you look at the list and compare them, you will discover that the names of the disciples are not always in the same place. A few of them are changed around by the evangelists. But you will always find this particular disciple, always find them in the same place. And this I find interesting and informative, because this fact speaks to me of Philip's steadfastness. Find that by the fact that Philip's name was always there, in the same place. When you want to go through the list of the disciples and you want to find Philip, you know exactly where to go to. He's number 5 on the list. Speaks to me of how steady this particular apostle was. Whenever you look for him, you'll always find him in his place. You'll always find him in his place. This teaches us that Philip was steady and reliable, and he was always in his own place. May that be the case with us. May we be like Philip. We'll learn much from looking at the disciples that we looked at thus far. And we pray that indeed we might be like Andrew. Andrew was that disciple who was always bringing souls to Jesus Christ. We pray that we might be like John. John was the beloved disciple, the one who leaned, was so close to the Savior that he was able to lean his head upon the bosom of the Lord. You never read of any of the other disciples doing that. You never read of any of the other disciples venturing so far as to lean their head upon the bosom of Christ. That tells us just how close John was to the Lord. That he was able to do that and felt comfortable doing that. And of course the Lord received him. And as we said, we believe that of all the disciples wanted to lean their head upon the Savior, the Lord would have welcomed them all. May we be like Andrew, may we be like John, and may we be like Philip. May we be like Philip, steadfast, always in our place in the Lord's service, reliable and dependable, and be found in the place of service and duty. So there's one little fact that we have learned about Philip just simply from the lists that are given in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And anything more that we need to know about Philip, we have to go into John's Gospel. Now John records 4 different incidents involving Philip. And I want to look at 2 of them tonight, and the will of the Lord, look at the other 2 next Lord's Day evening. And as we look at Philip here in John's Gospel, chapter 1. First thing that we notice about Philip is Philip and his testimony of the Lord. How he testified for the Lord Jesus. As was said, there are 4 separate incidents involving Philip that are recorded by John. First of the 4 is found here in this passage of Scripture that we have read this evening. Now I want us to notice, first of all, how Philip was found. For we are told in verse 43 in our text, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Here we are told how the Lord Jesus found Philip. The fact that we are told that the Savior found Philip is an indication that the Lord went searching for Philip. This speaks to me of the Lord's perseverance. That the Lord went into Galilee and findeth Philip. In other words, the Lord Jesus, the Master, went seeking for Philip and kept on seeking until he found him. This reminds us of the parable the Savior told about the shepherd who left the 99 sheep in the wilderness and went in search of the one sheep that was lost. And we're told there in Luke chapter 15 that the shepherd searched for that lost sheep until he found it. He didn't give up. He didn't turn back. The sheep was valuable. He looked upon that one sheep, even though he had 99, yet that one sheep was precious to him. And he was going to search for the sheep and keep on searching and persist and persevere until he found it. In the same parable, the Lord Jesus told of the woman who had lost a piece of silver. And that woman who lost the piece of silver, the Lord Jesus said that she lit a candle and swept the house and sought diligently till she found it. She didn't give up searching for the piece of silver. Neither did the shepherd give up in a search for the lost sheep. And neither did the Lord Jesus give up in his search for Philip. And neither did the Lord Jesus give up in his search for you and me. And dear child of God, tonight, are you not glad? I am. In all the years that I ran from Christ and hid from Christ and turned my back upon Christ, I'm glad that he didn't give up. I'm glad that he went on searching and searching until on the 5th of May, 1969, he found me. And my running was over. And my rebellion was finished. So the Lord Jesus persevered until he found Philip, like the Good Shepherd. He goes in search of his lost sheep, because each one of them is precious to him. He'll not leave one of his elect to perish, because they're all precious to him. Then you'll notice not only his perseverance, but also the place. But we read again in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find a Philip. Now the Lord Jesus, of course, knew where to find Philip. He knew that he would find him in Galilee. So he went in search of Philip and he went to that place. When the Lord entered into the Garden of Eden, he went in search of Adam. And he said, Adam, where art thou? Now that doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus didn't know where Adam was. He knew full well where he was. But he wanted Adam to admit that he was away from God. He was away from the Lord. He had fallen into sin. And now, that union that he had known and enjoyed with God had been broken. Now he was away from God. And when the Lord said, Adam, where art thou? It was simply to have Adam realize that he was now away from God. The Lord went in search of Adam. knew where he would find them. He went in search of Philip and he knew where he would find them, just as the Lord knew where to find Zacchaeus. Just as the Lord knew where to find blind Bartimaeus. You recall how the Lord went through Jericho? And on the road out of Jericho, there he found blind Bartimaeus. Knew exactly where to find him. He took that road out of Jericho. He could have gone another way. But he took the road that would lead him right to where Bartimaeus was. He knew where to find Saul of Tarsus. He would find him on the road to Damascus. Just as he knows where to find the sinner. Knows exactly where the sinner is. Knows how far away from God the sinner is. Knows how deep down in sin the sinner is. Sure, he knew where to find us, didn't he? The Lord Jesus didn't search for us in vain. He knew exactly where to find us. And he found us in our sin. And he came to where we were. And he was able to say, like the good shepherd, I have found my lost sheep. He had found Philip because he knew exactly where to find him. So we have noted then how Philip was found. Now we want to notice where Philip was from. Yes, we're told that the Lord Jesus went forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. The Holy Spirit wants us to know where Philip was from. He wants us to know that he came from the same city as Andrew and Peter. Now what is significant about that? What is significant about the fact that Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter? Must be some reason. Or else the Spirit of God would not have recorded that detail. Would you turn, please, to Matthew chapter 11? Matthew 11. And there in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 20, we read, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Because they repented not. The cities that had seen the works of God, yet they repented not. Verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. One, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, the city of Philip, Andrew and Peter. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, Bethsaida, I say unto you, Chorazin, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And here is the Lord, and he's pronouncing a woe upon the city of Bethsaida, the city of Philip. And yet it was out of that city that was one day going to experience the judgment of God that God was pleased to choose a man like Philip. Think of it. That out of this city, which the Lord rebuked because of her hard-heartedness was out of that very city the Lord was pleased to choose and to call a man called Philip, along with Andrew and Peter. Out of that city the Lord called three of his disciples. This teaches us that the Lord can call forth his servants from the strangest places, from places we may not expect the Lord to call forth servants to serve him. Here was Philip in that city of judgment and hardness. And we see here how God, the Lord in his grace, was pleased to raise up this man to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. That's grace. We mentioned there blind Bartimaeus. The Lord met with Bartimaeus just outside Jericho. Jericho was a city that had the curse of God upon it. God said it was never to be built again. And yet we find the Lord Jesus meeting with Bartimaeus and rescuing and saving Bartimaeus from that city that had the curse of Almighty God upon it. And here we have the Lord rescuing Philip and Andrew and Peter from the city that had the judgment of God about to fall upon it. That's grace. I tell you, that is grace. God in his grace is able to reach down into the lowest pit of sin and lift up a soul. Wash that soul, cleanse that soul, clothe that soul, and set that soul with princes and kings. That's grace. That's what the Lord did with Philip. That's what the Lord's doing day after day. So we have noted then how he was found and where he was from. Next we notice who was his friend. For we are told there in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Philip now has become a follower of the Lord Jesus. Now the next verse says, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. There's his friend, Nathanael. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Once again, just like Andrew, Philip has no sooner been brought to Christ, been found by Christ, than Philip goes out to tell others the good news. That's what Andrew did, went and found his brother, Peter. And here is Andrew, here is Philip, he has no sooner found the Lord than he goes away and finds Nathanael to tell him the good news that he has met the Savior. You will notice what is said there about Philip in that verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. But did we not read in verse 43 that it was the Lord who found Philip? Now Philip speaks to Nathanael and says, we have found him. Oh, but that's what it's all about. Christ finding us is our finding him. It's our finding him when the Lord Jesus finds us. You notice with regard to Philip's friend that Philip went to his friend. He went to him. When he found the Lord Jesus, he did not keep the news of this great event to himself. But he went and told Nathanael, we have found him whom the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And many of our friends have we told the good news to. The good news that we have found the Savior. That's the gospel. The glad tidings, the good news of the gospel. This is such good news that we cannot keep it to ourselves. That's how Philip felt. He found the Messiah. And this was good news. He had to tell someone, and he went and told his friend Nathanael. You know, this reminds me of the four leprous men we read about in 2 Kings in chapter 7. The city of Samaria is under siege by the Syrians. They've been under siege for some time. They've been reduced to cannibalism. And then the Lord did a great thing in the middle of the night and drove away the Syrians that had been encamped around the city. And then in the morning, four leprous men came upon the scene. And there were the tents of the Syrians, but they were empty. And in the camp of the Syrians, what did they find? They found food. And here, just inside the walls of the city, was a people who were starving to death, a people reduced to cannibalism. And what did the leprous man say to one another? 2 Kings 7 and verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Why don't you like those words? Then they said one to another, we do not well, this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. It was a day of good tidings for Philip, and he couldn't hold his peace. He had to tell somebody. Just as the four leprous men had to go and tell the king's household. And tell them that there was food for everybody in the city. That food meant life to the people in the city. And Philip went to Nathanael to tell him about the one who is the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Believer, we have got good news to tell. We have good news to tell to men and women who are dying in their sins. And we do not well if we hold our peace. We ought to be telling the good news. the good news of the gospel. Notice also it says, Philip findeth Nathanael. We have just read that the Lord went into Galilee and found Philip. As we said, indicating that the Lord Jesus persevered until he found Philip. And here we now read that Philip findeth Nathanael. And the same thought and the same truth applies here. That Philip went in search of his friend Nathanael, and he searched for him and searched until he found him. He persevered. He persevered. Told them the good news and brought them to Christ. Maybe there's some friend of yours that you've been burdened for. You've been witnessing to them. You've been praying for them. Dear child of God, don't give up. Persevere. Persevere. Seek and seek for the salvation of that soul until you see that soul brought to Jesus Christ. That's what Philip did. He findeth Nathanael. He persevered till he found him. So we see that Philip went to his friend. Then we notice also Philip's words that he spoke to his friend. Look again at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Look carefully at the words of Philip. Notice he didn't say to Nathanael, I have found him. No, he said, we. He's including himself with the other disciples, the others who had already been called by the Lord to follow him. And here we see Philip in his witness to Nathanael. Philip is nailing his colors to the mast. And really what he's saying to Nathanael, I am one of the Lord's followers. I, along with Peter and Andrew and James and John, I'm one of them. You like it when a man nails his colors to the mast. For long enough, Joseph of Arimathea was afraid to do that. He was a secret disciple. He kept it all to himself. Didn't want anybody to know that he was a follower of Christ. Let us all be a Philip as far as this is concerned. I've said before that I was saved on the 5th of May, 1969. On the 6th of May, everybody where I worked knew that I had got saved. Because I went round and told every one of them. Last night, I got saved and I gave my heart to the Lord. Far better to nail your colors to the mast straight away. That's what Philip did. He said, we have found him. I'm one of them. I'm one of the Lord's followers. Philip was unashamed. He unashamedly let Nathanael know that he had found Christ and he was now one of the Lord's followers along with the others. Find something else here in these words that Nathanael spoke, or Philip spoke to Nathanael. When Philip witnessed to Nathanael, he spoke a very simple word to Nathanael. He findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That's all he said. It was a very plain, simple, straightforward word of witness. He didn't go preaching at Nathanael. He didn't try and buttonhole Nathanael. He didn't try and press Nathanael into making a decision. He didn't, as it were, crowd Nathanael. He wasn't abrasive. He wasn't argumentative. He simply spoke plain word of witness and said to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And you will notice that all that Philip said to Nathanael was about Christ. Everything he said in this brief word of witness was all about the Lord Jesus. That's how you win souls. That's how the lost are won. It's not presenting the church to lost souls. It's presenting Christ to lost souls. That's what Philip did. I noticed something else in these words. Philip says, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Tells me that Philip had a knowledge of the scriptures. I believe it was fairly limited. Nevertheless, he had a knowledge of the scriptures, for he was able to say, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Then he said, we have found him, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. I find that Philip's knowledge of the person of the Lord Jesus was very limited. He wasn't like Andrew who said, we have found the Messiah. No, Philip said, we have found him, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He didn't say we have found him, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of God. Which indicates to me that Philip's knowledge of the Lord was limited. But nevertheless, he went out and witnessed for the Lord. He gave his testimony, if you like. And some people could have said, well, I don't know a great deal of the scriptures. I don't know that I could speak to anyone about the Lord. My knowledge is very limited. Well, you can give your testimony. Each one of us tonight, our knowledge is limited. But what can we do? We can give our testimony. And when we come across the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons, that's as good a witness as any. Give your testimony. Because they can't argue against that. You can stand and argue with them for hours. Their mind is closed to the truth. You can argue with them for hours about the deity of the Lord Jesus, but they'll not listen. They don't want to know the truth. And so the best thing to do is give your testimony. That's what Philip did. He had a limited knowledge of the Lord. He knew the Lord all right. But his knowledge was limited. But that didn't prevent him from going and witnessing to Nathanael. Neither should it prevent us. It's like the man who was born blind that we read about in John chapter 9. You know how he was pursued by the Pharisees and they plagued him. And they kept asking him, who was this Jesus? He went to his parents. Was your son really blind when he was born? They wanted to undermine the work of Christ. And they came to him again. We read in verse 23 of John 9, therefore said his parents, he is of age, asked him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And they kept questioning him and harrowing him. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. His knowledge of Christ was limited. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Nobody could argue with that. What did he do? He gave his testimony. I was blind before, and I know this for sure. I can see now. And you read on down through the chapter, you'll see how the blind man's knowledge of Christ increased. That's what we can do. If we have a limited knowledge of the Lord and the things of God, give our testimony. That's what Philip did. So you have then Philip's friend, and he went to his friend, his words to his friend, and then you have also Philip's wish for his friend Nathanael. When Philip said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a city of ill repute. Isn't it interesting when you read the Gospels? No one ever refers to Jesus of Bethlehem. Always say Jesus of Nazareth. That city of ill repute. Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And I like what Philip said. Philip saith unto him, come and see. Once again, he didn't try to cajole him or force him or buttonhole him. He just simply said, come and see. Come, sinner, and taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And you know, I see that the Lord Jesus adopted the same method. Philip was really following the Lord's example. And maybe he didn't even know it. Because when two of John's disciples followed the Lord Jesus, we're told then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. Verse 39. And when Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Why, you can't go wrong when you follow the Lord's example. That's what Philip did. Come, my friend. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. It was an effective witness. His witness was rewarded. Because we find that indeed Nathanael did come. He came to Christ. Philip was a soul winner. His name means a lover of horses. But we can see here that Philip was a lover of souls. May the Lord make us a lover of souls. A lover of lost souls. We have learned something, I trust, this evening about this man, Philip. We'll learn more, God willing, next week. Because the next reference to Philip in John's Gospel is there in John chapter 6. I'd like to have dealt with it tonight, but our time is gone. And we'll look there at how Philip was tested by the Master. I trust the Lord will bless His word to our hearts this evening. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and our gracious Father, we thank Thee for men like Philip and Andrew and John and James. We thank Thee, Lord, for this man, Philip. He didn't have a deep knowledge of the things of God. He would always seem to be a student in the school of Christ. But, Lord, we have learned that he was steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we see how well his labors were rewarded when he won his friend Nathanael to Christ. Oh Lord, may we win our friends and our relatives, our workmates, our neighbors to Jesus Christ. Give us the burden for souls that Philip had. And oh Lord, make us like the Savior. May we follow his example even as Philip did when he said to Nathanael, come and see. Lord, answer prayer. Write the word upon our hearts. And be with us now, dear Lord, as we part the one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us, Lord, and bless our families over this particular weekend. And keep thy hand upon us, Lord, until we meet again. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.